May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you know that Jews believe that on the Sabbath we're given an extra soul? We learned that almost 10 years ago, back in the summer of 2013, when we read Wayne Muller's book on Sabbath. That book was the inspiration then for a whole summer preaching series on Sabbath. We learned that Jews believe the Neshma Yetera, or Sabbath soul, enables us to more fully appreciate and enjoy the blessings of our lives. The Sabbath soul does not seek out our shortcomings or find us at fault for our failures. The Sabbath soul doesn't expect our lives to be any different than they are. The Sabbath soul reminds us that we are blessed just as we are. It certainly feels like we could use a little Sabbath soul these days. We need this reminder that we are blessed just as we are. We are blessed even in the midst of our imperfections and our failures. We are blessed even in the midst of the brokenness of the world. We are blessed, even as we continue living through a pandemic that has changed our lives in ways we never could have imagined just 3 years ago. We are blessed, even as we continue to grapple with the long-lasting effects the pandemic will have on our children, our schools, our churches, our workplaces, our healthcare system, our mental health system. We are blessed, even as we struggle to reckon with the gun violence that has caused 44 mass shootings in this country in just the first month of 2023 alone. We are blessed, even as we grieve the death of Tyre Nichols and confront yet again the brutality of police violence that took the life of another Black man in America. And we are blessed, even as our hearts break with the Clancy family and the Duxbury community as they grieve the tragic deaths of three young children. There is so much brokenness in our lives and in this world. And yet our faith tells us that we are blessed. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount by saying, "Blessed are." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek and the merciful. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice that Jesus does not say, "Blessed will be." He does not say, "Blessed will be the poor in spirit when they finally get their faith figured out." He doesn't say, "Blessed will be those who mourn after they have endured this period of grief and find a way to move on." He does not say, "Blessed will be the meek after they get some sort of assertiveness training." No, Jesus says, "Blessed are." Not they will one day be blessed, but they are blessed right now. What Jesus told the disciples up there on the mountain and what he teaches us right here today is that the poor in spirit are blessed even in their despair. Those who mourn are blessed even in their grief. The meek, the merciful, even those who are persecuted, all blessed. Not later. Not when their trials are over. Not when they are fixed. They are blessed right here, right now. They are blessed even while broken. So often we think that we have to get our lives together in order to be blessed by God. We think that we have to get all the messiness cleaned up and all the doubts cleared out. We think that maybe we just have to pray a little harder or give a little more. We think that there must be something we can do in order to prove our worth and earn God's blessing. But that is not what Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes. What he teaches us is that those who receive God's favor are not those who are seen as worthy by the world. Jesus was pushing back against the Roman culture of his time that favored those who held power in the military or the government. He was pushing back against the religious culture of his time that favored those who held positions of power in the temple. When Jesus offered the Beatitudes to his disciples, he was speaking to ordinary people who did not have money or power or status. They were regular people living messy lives in a broken world. What the Beatitudes taught the disciples then, and what they teach us still today, is that God does not choose to be on the side of those who have power or money or status. God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted because of what they believe. The Beatitudes ultimately remind us that we don't have to be perfect in order to be blessed. Jesus does not say to us, "Blessed will you be when you have solved all of your problems and finally earned God's favor." No, what Jesus says instead is this: "Blessed are you in the midst of your problems, because I am right there with you. Blessed are you right here, right now. Blessed are you even in your brokenness." So friends, hear this good news. God blesses us not because we are perfect, but because God's love is perfect. And God blesses us not because we are always lovable, but because God's love is unstoppable. And this is good news. But here's the thing. We need to remember that the Beatitudes are part of this whole big section in Matthew's gospel that is focused on discipleship. And discipleship is about how we live out our faith. It's about how we take our faith and use it to make God's kingdom real in the world. So yes, there is something incredibly powerful about being blessed by God even when we are imperfect. But if this teaching is ultimately about discipleship, then this amazing love that we receive from God cannot be something that we keep for ourselves. It must also be something that changes the world. Which means that as a church, we are called to be a place not only where God's love is received, but also where it's given away. We are called to be a community where God's unexpected blessings show up within these walls And we are also called to be a congregation that takes God's blessings out into the world. Which means, yes, we get to bring our messy lives here. Thanks be to God. We can bring our imperfections and our failures. We can bring ourselves, even when we are not feeling particularly lovable. We can bring our brokenness and still receive God's blessing. That is the beautiful promise of our faith. But the call of our faith is that we carry that blessing with us back into the world. The invitation of discipleship is that we go and stand by the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted because of what they believe. We go to the places of brokenness because that is where God promises to show up. And maybe that is how God can make the world a better place, through us, when we have the courage to go to places of brokenness and let God work through us to bring a blessing. May it be so. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a prayer of sorts. It is an invitation for God to take our lives and let them be consecrated. If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find this hymn in your hymnals, and if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us.